Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with your co-host, Mark Holland, it's the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. And hello once again, Mr. Grant.
Hi, Mark. How are you today?
Really good. Hey, we just came through actually a re-airing of your estate planning life cycle series, very popular series, kind of the A to Z of the life cycle of an estate. And this week, you kind of want to bring it back to the biblical basis for estate planning and kind of review some of those ideas. And we're going to be in the book of Luke.
Yeah, that's right. And so the Legacy and Faith Show is about biblical estate planning. It's not just about estate planning. Otherwise, I would have just called it the Legacy Show. So we want the opportunity to always come back to our foundation. Our foundation as believers, our foundation is always the Scripture. It's not what the world wants to give us or what the world thinks we should or should not do. Our foundation as believers is to always come back to the Word of God, find what the principles are that the Lord wants us to enact, and then our lives are to conform back to His character based upon those foundations. So we've gone through a very practical approach through the life cycle of estate planning. We talked about that relationship is important. Counseling and wisdom is important. We've talked about that most estate plans fail, that they end up falling apart at some place and at some point if we only have a document mentality. So that document mentality is, I need paperwork, and somehow the paperwork is going to save the day if I become incapacitated or if I die. Now, anyone who's listened to the show for any length of time understands that my perception is that the document will not assist us when we truly need it, unless it was just formed. And so if it's a brand new document, we have a greater chance. So the whole philosophy of estate planning should be around a relationship with an estate planner. Through a relationship, we can have consistent updating. We can have the proper viewpoint from the legal side. Based upon relationship, you have an opportunity to communicate things that are changing in your family back to the attorney. And so the whole concept of relational estate planning is that by relationship, we can build up a plan, but instead of having it wear down in efficiency and effectiveness, instead of it falling off because of legal gaps, tax gaps, or family gaps, financial gaps, or other things, that we can continually fine-tune it. Now, also in relationship, we talk a lot about education to the family. So in other words, is the next generation prepared? Is the next generation ready to receive what we are about ready to give them? Most estate planners look at it as wealth transfer. In other words, from the Creator's perspective, I am about ready to give whatever I have over to the next generation versus the concept that says, is that next generation? And by the way, that doesn't have to be just kids. That could be, is my church ready to receive what I'm about ready to give them?
Right.
Is the other nonprofit, are my nieces and nephews, are my brothers and sisters, are my kids? And so that tends to be the most common place that wealth flows is to children. But if you don't have children, or if you want to continue your acts of giving through estate planning, then is everyone that is a part of your plan, are they ready as a whole? Is each individual or each group ready to receive wealth, not does the document or is the document just ready to give it away? Mm. And that's really the concept and where most estate planners are, is that I'm going to create a document that just simply transfers versus the concept that says, are those who are going to receive, are they ready to receive? And so that's the relational approach is, number one, we have to have that a consistent ability to review and change because life, the law, taxes, everything is constantly changing. Mm-hmm. But if I just gave you a document and pushed it to you and said, it was nice to meet you, let me know if I can help you again, The average individual is not following when things change in estate planning. So we assume that the document is ready, and that's an unfortunate part, is that we assume. And so what I want to do with today's show is I want to bring that relational concept back to a biblical foundation, because unfortunately what we're trying to make sure is that estate plans don't fail, is that I want to create predictable known outcomes in estate planning. And an estate planner can't do that without relationship, and an estate planner can't do that if we are not of the same mindset and word, and that the client is ready to move forward with it. So with that as a background, and that kind of summarizes the whole philosophy of the life cycle of estate planning discussion that we've been coming out of, or that you can find on the legacyandfaithshow.com. Mm-hmm. So you can go to legacyandfaith.com, if that's my website. Is that correct? Legacyandfaith.com?
I think that's the correct one, right? I believe so.
And so all of our podcasts are there. So you can find, I think we've agreed that there's six different shows that comprise the life cycle of estate planning. They're really foundational necessities to understand different steps and to find where you're at. So now, kind of the wrap up, or really the whole foundation, the glue that keeps that together, is what is my biblical viewpoint to take this step and actually get things moving forward as an estate plan? And so I want to turn our attention then to Luke. And I'm going to use Luke 15 and Luke 16 as the discussion points today for biblical estate planning. And this is just a portion of biblical estate planning. This isn't the entire viewpoint. And so in keeping in mind that most estate plans fail, so in other words, there's gaps in estate planning, I want to come back and I want to look at shoring up what should be our viewpoint biblically so that that doesn't happen. All right, so the first discussion point then is the parable of the lost son, or the parable of the prodigal son.
Right.
Now, that is found in Luke 15, and we understand, or most of us know the story, so I'm going to summarize the story. I'm not going to read it because it's a long parable. It'd take up the most of the show. And so go back and make sure that I am giving you the story properly. So beginning in verse 11, it says that we have a father who has two sons. Now, one of the sons comes to the father, and the younger one actually, and says, "Father, give me the portion that is mine. Give me the portion of my estate," is what most people believe that he was asking. So number one is that he was asking for something out of order, because number one, it should have gone to the oldest son first, because in Jewish culture, it ran through the oldest son. And so there's a very distinct characteristic that this is the younger son. And in addition, he's asking for his inheritance before the father even dies. Now, in our culture, that's where things start to becoming offensive, which is, hey, can I have your money? Can I have my portion of the estate today, please? Now, there are parents who help their kids out and say, well, I've given you blank many dollars, so in fairness to the whole family, I'm going to make that as a note within my estate plan that if you don't pay me back, or I don't want you to pay me back, I'm going to consider it an early inheritance. All of that is fine. But here, the son is actually coming with audacity and asking the father, give me. So it wasn't a question, can you help me?
Right.
It was a statement of, I want. And so the first issue that we find in estate planning is the next generation, is their heart ready? And I think we would clearly say that at this point in the story, I think it's very clear that this son's heart was not ready to receive what was about to be put into his hands. Now, we don't have to even know the rest of the story, which most of us do, which is that he went off and he squandered it all. He started having parties. He started having great social events. And soon, he found out that those events and those relationships really were void. They didn't have any substance. And so we find in the story that he actually squandered absolutely everything. But most of us, from the perspective of knowing the story, would say, well, of course he did, because his heart was not even right to receive what he was going to receive. So in other words, he came to the Father with a broken heart already, with the wrong attitude of receiving wealth, with a wrong perception. His perception was, give me. I want. It's time for me to have, so that I can depart from and enjoy the ways of the world. So the first really hard question that we need to ask, and that we need to be prepared to ask, is about those that are going to receive what we have left. Are their hearts ready? Now, I meet with a lot of clients, and I meet with a lot of Christian clients, and I get the privilege of listening to everyone's story, and I get the privilege of actually learning about their families. So people who come into my office, I need to know about your family. I need honest opinions about whether or not your kids or those who are going to receive your wealth, by the way, that could be a little wealth or a lot of wealth, it won't matter. Are they ready? Are they in a position to where their heart is ready to utilize what you are going to give them in a biblical manner, in a manner that reflects your values, in a manner that reflects biblical values, in a manner that reflects the Father's heart? And we know that from this parable of the prodigal son, that he came to the Father with a heart that was not ready to demonstrate and reflect his Father. And that is very evident by how it was played out, because we know he squandered it. So now, that's a hard question, because as parents, I talk a lot with my clients that as parents, I believe that we have been created to hope in our children's strengths and forgive their weaknesses. So we have a parent problem right out of the gate when I deal with people who have children. Because I think we are naturally wired to say, oh yes, my child is responsible, but yet they're buying brand new vehicles that are way out of their price line, that are way out of their budget, that they're taking loans to afford a more luxurious lifestyle than they are willing to live within their means. And we can have other examples. I could list them over and over of what clients tell me the characteristics of their children are, but then we'll come back to this result. My kids are going to be responsible with what I give them. Now, I have to tell you, as an estate planner, I get to see both that comment, and then unfortunately, I lose clients, and I get to see exactly what the children do with their wealth. And I'm telling you that based upon my experience, how we are created, again, that parents hope in their kids' strengths and forgive their weaknesses is true almost every time that I've watched it play out. So I get the luxury of watching the full spectrum of estate planning. And that is one of the harder things to overcome when I'm dealing with individuals in my office. So number one, we need to have a proper viewpoint, a biblical viewpoint of, are my children going to be able to use what I give them with the same heart and passion and value system that I have been given stewardship over this? And so when we come back from break, we'll pick up this storyline of, is the next generation prepared, and what is my responsibility biblically in really creating that estate plan and really creating that biblical model of how to pass wealth to the next generation instead of just passing it, but is the next generation ready to receive it?
The biblical basis for estate planning and the life cycle there, discussing that this week on the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. If people are intrigued, they need help, how do they get in touch with you?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's places where you can hit the contact button. We hold educational sessions. You can register for those, whether both online or coming into the office and seeing us live, or there's opportunities to listen to our past podcasts, legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And back with the Legacy and Faith Show, co-host Mark Holland with Paul Grant, and the biblical basis for estate planning's life cycle. We came to that great series recently, and Paul bringing us back to the story of the prodigal son. One thing that comes up to me, Paul, as I'm listening to this, is it sounds like you're kind of an advocate for controlling the family and how they spend the money from beyond the grave, so to speak.
Well, and some people are really resentful with that ideology that, well, I'm going to be pulling strings. No, we don't have to pull strings. Estate planning can be an opportunity of expression towards what your values are. I am always more in favor of utilizing trusts. Now, trusts are an opportunity to protect. So if I were to pass away, I have two daughters. They're 21 and 22. They are still at an age to where if they received what I have, what my wife and I have, then they are probably going to end up the prodigal son to some degree. I'm not saying fully, but to some degree. So I may want to assist them over X many years in learning how to utilize that properly. In other words, I can unwind guidance that as they continue with age, that there's guidelines to get proper understanding of how to use wealth and utilize it biblically. But see, if I never have the opportunity to really speak what my values are. Now, of course, I'm supposed to be doing that as a parent, but let's say in 20 more years when my girls are 41 and 42, God help me, and there's little rugrats running around and all that. Well, are they at the age to where now I would trust them with whatever I have? And the answer is, I don't know. Because I don't know what they're going to be like at 41 and 42. The only glimpse I have is when they are 21 and 22. So that kind of brings me back to really a biblical approach to estate planning starts with relationship, which is I have to be involved because life changes. When I view and watch my kids, my values will change. Now, not my morals. My morals are rock solid on the foundation of Jesus Christ. But my value of how I view my family, view money, also it depends on where my life goes and what I accomplish and what I don't accomplish, what I have and what I don't have at the end of the day. So all of these are revolving doors. All of these things are changing as life goes on. So the first call is, I'm actually not an advocate of pulling strings. That is the parent's prerogative. That's not my prerogative. My entire goal is to listen to a client's vision, listen to their heart, listen to what their values truly are. And hopefully some of it rests within a biblical model. And based upon those values, help them create a plan that long term can last generationally in order for them to really play out their long term values in a family.
Mm-hmm. So do you think then, though, the biblical model is to pass it to family as opposed to I made my money, you got to make your own money, and I'm not going to give you any money. I think you should earn it yourself, and so I'm going to give all my money to this charity or the church or whatever. Is that a biblical model necessarily? Shouldn't you be sort of like, doesn't charity start at home first, so to speak?
Well, yeah, there I can't pull it right out of my head this quickly on the air, but there's a I think people will relate to what I'm about to say, and I may not get it perfect. So give me a little bit of grace in here as I speak this one, which is if you do not take care of your family, you're worse than a sinner. And so there's a portion of Scripture that says, oh, of course we're going to take care of family. There's a biblical model that wealth was passed generationally,
yeah,
that it wasn't passed outside of the generations. And that's why the prodigal son was actually an offense to the father, which is, I'm coming out of order. I'm usurping my brother. I'm coming out of order of what was natural in the Jewish custom. Now, in that biblical viewpoint, then, I'm not saying it's wrong or bad to leave things to outside organizations to continue your purpose and vision of ministry. As a matter of fact, that's really what I am an advocate of, is what is your vision? And it shouldn't die with you in the grave. In other words, our vision can be greater than just my lifetime. It can be greater than just your lifetime. We can pass our patriarchal vision down generationally. And whether it flows to kids or whether it flows to other family members or whether that vision flows through organizations, the whole purpose is, what has God called you to do? Now, that is the whole entire starting premise of a biblical foundation of estate planning, is what is your vision? And each vision is different. So some people would say, yes, I want to continue some of my giving to outside organizations. Others would say, I want to make sure that it passed generationally and stays within the family. But are we building the vision biblically to say, I am passing to you not just my bank account, but I'm passing to you the essence of who I am, the vision that God has given me, and I am handing that mantle to you along with my wealth so that you can continue? Or I support your vision, and I'm passing what I have been given stewardship over so that I can bind myself to your vision, and I say yes and amen to your vision. See, I don't care which way it goes, and I don't think God cares which way it goes, actually. What I believe the biblical foundation is a starting point of saying, well, what is your vision? What has God placed on your heart? And so, so that's the starting point, is that the father in the prodigal son gave the son his money without any instruction. And when the son had the wrong heart in receiving that, the result was, I'm going to squander it. And so we understand the story that he comes back after being destitute, after being kicked around by the world, comes back to a father whose arms are open wide, not just open wide, but he was waiting on the porch and ran to the son when he saw him afar. I love that. God is always going to run after me. That is one of the most beautiful pictures that I see in Scripture. Is my heavenly Father not waiting for me to come all the way back on my hands and knees, but as soon as he sees me turn, he runs to me. That is beautiful. So our God is always waiting to run to you. Our God is always ready to turn his face and not just accept you, but to actually go after you and to come to your feet and put the robe and the ring and the sandals and then pull out the fatted calf. Well, unfortunately, I never even got to Luke 16, which is really the discussion of the unrighteous servant. So let me say this in a quick moment. I think this is one of the most misunderstood parables in all of Scripture. So I'm going to give you a very brief review of and how it applies to estate planning, and then we're all done. Is that at the end, the Lord commended the unjust steward, the unrighteous steward. See, the steward, when he found out he was going to lose his job, actually began motion. When his back was against the wall, he began to utilize whatever the world had at its fingertips to begin to develop a plan. Why do we wait to work what God has given us until the last moment? This is a call. So my call in a biblical view of estate planning is, we need to be in motion. We need to figure this out. Don't wait until the last minute. Don't wait. Utilize the gifts God has given you and the resources He has given you today. And don't be like the unjust servant, which is, I'm going to wait until my back is against the wall. So there's some biblical viewpoints. Head over to legacyandfaith.com, where we have podcasts, where we have educational sessions, and where you can communicate with us. Go to legacyandfaith.com.
Yeah, if you missed any of the estate planning lifecycle shows that we just came through, you can hear those there as well at legacyandfaith.com. Always great information.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.